soon to be 629. I hope you have your Bibles. You will need them. And some of you take notes, others do not. This would be a good night if you do take notes to write down scripture references. We will be doing quite a few scripture references on this evening. Some do better just listening and not taking notes. Whatever works for you.
Well, Sister Velma, just want you to know, Miss Ruby and Miss Sadie, say hello.
Hello, ladies. Sisters in Christ, glad you're here. Okay, if everyone would mute themselves, please. I'm glad everyone is with us. Okay, here we go. Good evening to everyone. I welcome you on this another day that the Lord has made to the contemporary Bible class, of which I, Velma Jean Sanders, am the teacher. Glad to be the teacher. However, that comes with a small t. It is the Holy Spirit himself who is our teacher. So we acknowledge God, the Holy Spirit, as our helper, our teacher, our guide. I hope you had a good day. Whether you had a good day or not so good day, we thank God for the promise that he has given to us as his children, that all things, and that all is a big word, all things, the thing with an S on it, huge, all things are working together, God gathers it. All things work together for good. All things work together, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and to them that are the called according to his purpose. So I welcome you and greet you in the name of Jesus. As you know, we're studying the gospel according to Luke. Let me go to the Lord in prayer first, and then we'll continue on in our class for this evening. On this evening, Lord, we come before you in prayer, praising and giving you glory. And now we trust in you. We trust in you as our leader, our guide, our teacher, our everything. We pray that you will have your way, Lord, and work your will in us and be glorified. We ask you to forgive us of any sins and anything that would hinder us in any way from receiving, from hearing from you, and from being all that you would have us to be in Christ. We pray, dear Lord, forgive, help us to confess if we need to confess our sins. And you said you would be faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We praise you and we thank you. We pray for the absent part of us, for those who wanted to be here, but there are various reasons they could not. We pray for them and we pray that all is well, Father, and that you are being glorified regardless of what they're going on. May they have peace, Lord, the peace of you that passeth all understanding. Now anoint me your servant to do this your work, Lord, and I'll be careful, will be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory forever through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome again as we continue in our study of the gospel according to Luke. Is my mom online? Jewel, are you online and can you respond to me?
You hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Do you have the subject that I had given for this evening? I have all that, but I didn't get it in here with me. If you have it, can you read it? If you don't have it, I'll give us my subject for tonight and get the official subject to all of you later. Do you have it?
A summary of the book of Luke.
Okay. And then, was that it?
An overview.
An overview. That's our subject for tonight, everyone. Summary of the book of Luke. Is that what I said?
Is that yes.
Summary of the book of Luke. That is our subject for tonight. And then I had, what else did I have? Was that it? Gerald?
Yes, I think that was it.
Okay. And then our scripture for tonight is the entire Gospel of Luke. And we'll find out and more. Because we're going to do a summary, an overview, a flyover of the entire Gospel according to Luke, which is going to sweep in. If everyone would put themselves on mute, that would be good. Which will sweep in the entire book of the Bible, even the entire book of the Bible. Now, fear not, we will get back to our detailed, little by little study of Luke. But I feel this is a good juncture for us to stop, pause, take a breath, look backwards to see where we have been, look forward to see where we are going, and how does it all work together? How does it all fit together? Because there's positives in studying slowly or fast. There's great positives in doing it that way, even reading quickly or reading slowly. Both of them have advantages and disadvantages. Whether you read the word slowly, whether you read it fast, both have an advantage. The way I teach, as most of you know, I'm very detailed in my teaching. That's how God raised me. And he raised me to know, for me, this is for Velma. Anybody can go fast. Cover the whole book, be done with the whole Bible in 2 weeks, 1 week. I mean, anybody can go fast. That's not a negative. Some are made to do that. They have a fast work they got to do. They don't have all day to do it. Others, such as myself, God told me to teach and raised me to teach in detail. So therefore, it takes us a little longer. We have been in Luke over 2 years. I started at chapter 1. Luke is the longest of the Gospels, 28 chapters. No, that's Matthew. Matthew is the longest of the four Gospels. Luke is the longest in words. Luke has more words than Matthew, but Luke itself has more words, okay? So we're studying this gospel, which has less chapters, but it has more words. And we need to look back because we have covered a lot since we've been in this book called Luke. And now that we're at this great juncture, let's, our scripture, as you know, is in, you know, when we're on track, per se, with our Luke, we're in Luke chapter, let's go to where we actually are in our study of Luke. So let's go to Luke. By the way, thank you everyone for your continued prayers for me. They are very much needed. Do not stop praying for me. I'm still in the battle, but I'm more than a victor through Jesus Christ, my Lord. And I'm praying for you daily. So let's go to Luke and let's look at Luke. And when we last met together, we were in Luke chapter 19. We were in Luke chapter 19 through chapter 19, and we had made it to verse 39. That's where we read through Luke 19, verse 39. Now we're at beginning, maybe next week, maybe not. We'll see how tonight goes. But we will be continuing in Luke 19. However, we do need to stop, take a breath, look forward, look backwards, look at where we are, look at what we cover, look at where we're going. And now in Luke 19, there's going to be a change here. When we look at Luke 19, verse 41, and we know all along, if you were to go back, you would see over and over again in Luke that Jesus was headed towards Jerusalem, towards the holy city, towards Calvary, towards the crucifixion. Why was he headed there? He was headed there because he was and is the Lamb, L-A-M-B. He is the Lamb, capital T, the Lamb. Not a shadow, not a type. The Lamb of God. To do what? Pay for the sins of the world. To redeem mankind. And Luke had been telling us that all along, this way, that way, different ways were given. But now that we're in Luke, we see, and Jesus had been to Jerusalem many times, several times, especially for the great feast and all of that. But now in verse 41 of Luke 19, it says, now as he, and we'll study this, when we get to it. Now, as he drew near, he saw the city. And he what? Wept. That's the time where Jesus cried. He wept over the city, saying, if you had known, if you had known. And then it goes on talking. And we will study that. What caused Jesus to weep? And we'll get to that. But Jesus now, the focus is turning now. Calvary, blood, sacrifice, judgment, crucifixion. And then, you know, I've told you all this. Everyone is headed towards two things. There are more. But everyone is headed towards, as Hebrews, the book of Hebrews tells us, I believe it's chapter 9, verse 27. That may be wrong. But Hebrews lets us know it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Those are two appointments that everyone will make. My job as God's servant, and your job as God's servant, and missionary. We're all missionaries. We're all sent to go and proclaim the gospel. That's one of your titles. You may not know it. You may not be active in it, but you are called to be a missionary, to go. Just like Jesus went. So you are a missionary. That is one of our titles. We are servants of the Lord to go forth and speak on his behalf, telling them, number one, a Savior has come. And he loves you. He died for you, so you don't have to go to hell. Number two, the second thing that all will face, Some of you may remember this. It is appointed appointment. You might not know it's on your appointment calendar. Like I've said, many died today, left this earth through various means, had no idea. that they would make that appointment. Some got there early. Because sin will cut short your days. Some got there early, a whole bunch of folks. But nobody gets there late. Everybody will keep that appointment of those two appointments. It is appointed unto man. Appointed by who? Ain't no eraser. Ain't no escape. Ain't no backwards button. We're headed. Appointed unto man, number one, to die. All die in Adam. Every time you pass a graveyard, every time you see a dead whatever, every time you feel a little older, death is knocking. All it is appointed unto man wants to die. And there's an and. It is appointed unto man wants to die. And after that, emphatic, sure enough, certain, count on it. God already told us. It is appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. That's it. Everybody will keep those appointments. You all got it? First of all, it doesn't matter. Saved, unsaved, black, white, red, yellow. It doesn't matter who you are. No discrimination here. It is appointed unto man, unto you, put your name there, wants to die. And after that, judgment. So you should live from, God help us, Lord, an eternal perspective. I gotta die. That's serious business. That freaks people out. And if I didn't know the Lord, I'd be freaked out too. But God's given us his word as a light. It is appointed unto man once to die. Ain't no reincarnation and all that mess. Ain't nothing but lies from the devil. You got a bunch of them. But your body will let you know you're leaving here. It's written in us. It's in the DNA. Physically, spiritually, thank God, there is an escape through Jesus. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. If you don't get nothing else out of this class this evening, live from that perspective. I gotta leave here, and I gotta be judged. Yes. Judgment can fall into two categories, good or bad, or mixture. But all will be judged for everything, because God is the capital J judge. He ain't gonna leave out nothing. And he's totally just in all his ways. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent. Put that T on excellent. Is thy way, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy way in all the earth. Now we're going to cover, as I said, a summary of Luke. And I haven't even made it, but we're doing what I feel God would have me to do because I'm praying. Now this will no doubt be part one of I don't know how many parts, because I want to summarize. Look forward, look backwards, look where we are, and then we'll get back to Luke 19 when we do. Let's first of all start at Genesis, which is where we left off last week. But we have to start at Genesis. You have to start at Genesis, because as I mentioned to you on last week, Genesis, some of you have heard me say this, others have not. It's good for all of us to hear it again. Genesis, I'm going to try to pick up the speed a little bit. But Lord, let me be on time with you. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis, simply the word itself. Genesis, and I encouraged you, invited you to write it down, the word Genesis. G-E-N-E-S-I-S. And when you look at that word, really look at it. Have God open your eyes to see it, like he opened mine and others. I'm not alone. And I looked at that word. He showed me the word, because I'm detailed. That's how I'm made. It's in my DNA. I can't help it. If you don't like this type of teaching, God's got one, someone for you. You know, he's got what everyone needs. He knows the food we need, the food we like, the season we need it, breakfast, lunch, dinner, snack. He knows all of that. So now as we look at Genesis, he's going to give us the whole quote shebang right in this one word, Genesis. When you look at it, you first of all see, oh, there's more than one word in here. It says gene, J-J-J, G-E-N-E, gene, genes, gene, DNA, genealogy, the whole book of Genesis, the entire book of Genesis. From Genesis to Revelation is contained God himself in this one word, gene. Gene. Genesis. Now the two words is IS, prefix, suffix. Actually one. What's in the genes? Genesis equals, and you can put Genesis, that IS would stand alone, Genesis, and it would spell out IS, if. Genesis equals what's in the genes, if. Can't change it, erase it, search it away. It's fixed. God fixed it. And that's why one of my missions is to proclaim to people, be you in Christ, but be you, or you'll be conformed to someone else or something else. And it takes a lot to just be you, because it's the pressure of the world, your own flesh, the devil. You ever thought something and you're like, where did that come from? You know that didn't come from you. Darts, attacks, this fallen humanity in us, saved, unsaved, these thoughts come. So Genesis, the book of Genesis, the entire Bible is there. God himself, what's in the genes is. Now if it stopped, we could close the book and said, we studied Genesis today. Well, what did you study? The whole book, from Genesis to Revelation. Well, Sister Velma, I need some more. I need a little more. So let me give you a little more. Let's go to the Gospel according to John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And let's go to John. Now, this is all going to fit back in with Luke 19 when we get there. But I do need to stop and set some context, some looking backwards and some looking forward. Because we're at a critical juncture now where the Lamb will be crucified, will be sacrificed. So Luke chapter, what chapter did I give you all? What did I say? I said, Sister Patricia, will you be the one that when I say, when I see, you could tell
John.
Me? who, what did I say? John.
John.
John chapter 1. Let's look at John chapter 1. And we're connecting it to Genesis. Genesis, the word and the book. Now, John, Luke says, well, we're in John. Let's look at John 1. And John 1 says, now, do you all recall what Genesis 1 said? Genesis 1, and I hope you still have it, but let's look at what I just gave you, and let's look at Genesis 1 a little closer, and then we'll come back, wherever God leads us. Now, here in Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, there's Genesis. Isn't that how the book of Genesis starts? And John, Matthew started, Genesis starts by saying, in the beginning, God. I'm echoing, so somebody must be unmuted, or maybe I'm just echoing. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God. Alpha, Omega, beginning and end, first and last is God. I am that I am. In the beginning, God. Well, a whole bunch of people don't believe that, but he is in the beginning. And now it begins to tell us the word of God is its own commentary. And it says, in the beginning, God. Well, what about God? God created the heavens with an S on it and the earth. You believe it or else you don't. It doesn't matter. Truth stands, and it's going to stand when the world's on fire. In the beginning, yes, God created, yes, the heavens. Everyone, please make sure you're on mute. And the earth. Okay, you all notice that God created it all. Then there's a comma there. Now the Bible right immediately begins to comment on itself. It's the best commentary in the world. Make sure you read your Bible more than any other book. It's good to read those books. I have plenty of them, but concentrate on the Bible and however God leads you to study. Make the Bible your main book, not a reference book. Some have made the Bible a reference book where it should be the book. In the beginning, God created. What did God do? He created. He's the only one that can do that. He created the heavens and the earth. Now, take a comma, pause, and it begins to comment now on what God had just done. And it tells us something about what God created. It says the earth was without form. Without form. What does that sound like? Without form. And void. Without form. And void, and ugly word. And the earth was without form and void and darkness. The earth was without form and void and darkness. Was, you all continue to keep Velma in prayer, darkness. Was, that's an italicized word. I've told you to get in the habit when you see those supplied words of reading the text without the words. Sometimes it's obvious why, other times it's not, but there's a reason. And the earth and the earth was without form and void. And darkness was on the face. Darkness was on the face of the deep. Notice those words. Does it sound like God? God is light. And in him, there's no darkness at all. Put a T on that one. No goes on. Darkness at all. None. There is no darkness at all. So now it looks like what started out as God alone ends up, now we see two. We see darkness, and we see something that's chaotic, void, on the face of the deep. And then it says, period, and conjunction, and don't separate it from the rest of the Bible. It all fits together from Genesis to Revelation. Moving quickly. But moving. And it says, and here comes number three of the Godhead. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are right here in Genesis chapter 1. One and two. You have the Godhead. Father, at work. Son, at work. Holy Ghost, at work. Do you see him? Do you see God? In Genesis 1:1-2, God created. Then this darkness and void come. That ain't nobody but the devil. Because he was kicked out of heaven way before this earth was created. You can read about that in the Bible. And then number three, the third person of the Godhead, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, right there in Genesis, in the genes. So if you read and somebody said, what did you study in class tonight? Oh, we covered the whole Bible in two verses. They'd laugh, but it's true. There it is. So we see here, there's a battle. A warfare, two sides, right from the get-go. Not of creation, because God didn't create darkness. He doesn't do that. But it did happen. And we will look at some reasons why. Like I said, this is not a detailed study, but I do want to come back so we can, it's after 7 already, so we can see it in summary. This gospel according to Luke and the entire Bible from a divine, as it were, perspective. Now we've looked at Genesis. We've looked at Genesis. And now let's go to Revelation. Let's go to the book of Revelation. Now, you all, as I said, continue to pray for me, because God gives me more food than I can ever give out. I just be bursting over at the seams with his word, and that's how his word is. But he said, feed the multitudes. Did I give you all the scripture? I said Revelation. And the reason I say, did I give you a scripture? I have all kind of notes I be trying to write, but I just can't write it. I have to give it as God gives it. Okay, so Revelation here, and that's not always how I teach, but it is tonight. Revelation chapter 1. And that's another thing with walking in the Spirit. You have to go which way the wind blows. The wind being the Holy Ghost. And John said, the wind blows where it will. You don't know where it's going, where it's coming from. So we have to follow the wind of the Spirit. Revelation chapter 1. Now we're tying together, tying, quote, it's already connected through Jesus. Revelation chapter 1. Keep in mind, what we've already seen in Genesis and what we've already seen in John. I think we've been to John. Yeah. Now let's look at Revelation chapter 1. And it says, look at this. The revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the same thing that was said earlier. It's the revelation. The revelation. Don't put an S on that. Revelations. Not when you're talking about the book. It is one revelation. It's all about Jesus. And to say the revelations, the book of Revelations, that is wrong, wrong, double wrong. It's one revelation. It's right here in the book. The chapter 1, verse 1, first words. The, singular, revelation, no S. Because what? It's all about Jesus Christ. The whole thing, reverently, I say, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then the Bible begins to comment on itself again and lets us know God gave it to him. It had to be revealed to even Jesus, servant of the Lord. The revelation of Jesus Christ. How did you get it, Jesus? God, my Father. The head, God the Father, he gave me the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's how we get it too. It has to come from God. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. It's got to come from God. True revelation. Not none of this fake makeup stuff. The revelation of Jesus Christ. What's the chain? How did it come? Well, God started it. God gave it to him. Why? To show, reveal, revelation. Show it. Don't hold it. Tell it. Be a missionary. God gave it to him to show his servants. That's who gets it. If you want it, you got to serve. You can't want to rule. You can't want to be the master. You have to serve. Follow me. Fish for men. Be a servant. And you notice that's a small S to anyone who will serve the Lord Jesus. He gave it to him to show his servants. Don't bury that. Don't bury that treasure, that mina. Don't bury it. You're supposed to show it as his servant. You got work to do. You're a missionary. And then it says, things, now there's an S on there, where you can say, the Bible is one book. It's the book of Revelation, but it contains many revelations. Now that would be proper. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants. Question, are you one of his servants? Things, there's another S, prophecy. Things, many things, which must shortly, time frame. You might think Jesus has been gone from this earth well over 2,000 years now. That ain't nothing. When you look at your own age, especially if you're getting on up there like me, I can't believe how old I am. I really can't. But I am. This is, and you are too, whatever you are. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must, God didn't have to say no must, but which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it. There's that word sign in there. He sent letter. He sent and signed it. He sent and signified it. And notice that it, there's that italicized it. We know what it's talking about, the book of Revelation, Jesus. And he sent and signified it by his angel. By his angel to his servant John. Not names the person. Got to come on down to you individually. Is my name written there? We'll make sure your name is there. It started with anybody. God so loved the world. But it ends with servant. If you want to get there, you got to serve. To his servant, name, your name. Is your name written in the book of life? The Lamb's book of life. Not to be blotted out. Servant John. What about you, John? You saw it. I bore witness. I raised my right hand. And I bore witness. I ain't lying. What God said is true. John said, I bore witness. And you all, some of you have had to go to court and actually be a witness on things. And that's a good picture of the courtroom. See yourself in that courtroom one day with God as the judge, with the whole record. Ain't nothing left out, good or bad. That'll be us one day. Shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by, that's the chain coming on down, from God, now by the angel. And this angel will show up throughout the book of Revelation. An angel, the word meaning messenger. The angel shows up. We'll see him. Angel, he signified it by his angel. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness. He bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony. Testify. Testament. Test. Testimony. To the testimony of Jesus Christ. To all things that he saw. Revelation. Blessed. Here's the first promise that comes forth in the book of Revelation. The seven, first blessing. Number one, do you want to be blessed? For real. Capital B, eternal blessing, life-giving blessing. Blessed, it's emphatic if you keep the requirements. Blessed is he who reads, who reads, who reads. That's what we're doing tonight. Those who can, God has made provision for them to hear. Blessed is he who reads. And though, there's an and on that. Because a lot of folks say, woo, amen, if they read it, a portion of it at least. Blessed is he who reads. Yeah, okay, I can do that. And you got to hook it up with the next one. And those who hear, you got to hear it. It's one thing to hear with one ear, but you got to hear with both ears and the heart. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy. Okay, you might make it that far. And that's a lot right there. The words of this prophecy. It's a book of prophecy foretelling us we will die. We will be judged. Everybody. Of those, blessed is he who reads. That's what we're doing. And those who hear the words of this prophecy. What type of book is it? Prophecy. And keep. Now we're going to lose a whole bunch of folks. Including me if I don't keep on. Not that I lose my salvation. But the scripture is emphatic in what it said. It said, blessed is he who reads. And those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it. It works together. That are written in it. Time, because judgment is coming. The time for those things which are in it. Are written in it because The time is near. That's Genesis to Revelation. I have about 15 minutes. Okay, so let's keep going. We've covered the book. But now let's go back again. And let's look at it. I need to pick up some of these, quote, major joints that are connecting this all together. So let's go, and I mean you all, you talk about which scripture, Lord, but Lord, lead me. So let's go to Genesis now, chapter 3. Let's start at Genesis 3. Now, one way, someday, when God says so, we'll get back to Luke 19. It's not going to be that long, but I do need to stop here and do what we're doing so we can see how the whole fits together. Number three, chapter 3, Genesis. Chapter 3, now we've already seen a lot in 1 and 2. God's in control. Darkness came. Battle is on the way between darkness and light right from the beginning. Spirit of God moves, the Holy Ghost, the Godhead. But now we get to chapter 3, and we notice this dark creature who was lurking all along comes to, quote, light. And we see and hear more about him in Genesis 3. And Genesis 3:1 said, now the serpent, turn your focus, turn your ship. I'm going to show you something about this one who has brought about this darkness. Chapter 3, verse 1, Genesis. Now the serpent, the serpent, ugly word. Even though they have pretty skin, know how to cover up. That's another lesson. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said, started talking. And that's one thing about a snake. Maybe more, but I know this about a snake, but they're always moving. And that tongue is going. Yeah, that's a snake, all right. Moving, might be standing still, but he's conniving and wilding to make a strike. That's what he did here in Genesis 3. Now, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. That says we need the wisdom of God, because we can't outthink the devil, but he can't outthink or do God. We need the mind of Christ. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And that serpent, and he started with that tongue he got. He said, he started talking, y'all. He said to the woman, because keep in mind, the woman has already fallen. The serpent is a missionary too. He's seeking followers, got many. So here he is doing his missionary work. And he said to the woman, has God said? Look what he's doing. Interjecting what? Doubt. Did God really say, thou shalt not steal? He didn't really mean that. I think I'll take this. Did God really say? And you got to apply it to however it applies to you. Did he really mean it? You know, you've been there. We're faced with it all the time. Temptation. And he said to the woman, has God indeed spoken the word? Has God indeed said? Did God really say and mean, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Question mark. And you got to be careful with questions. People be asking questions for all kind of reasons. We've done it. All of us. You be asking questions, but you really looking for something else. That's what he's after, the devil. And God indeed said, now some questions can be good. Thank God. Bible's full of questions. And God said, and he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall, did he really say and mean it? You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. What would have been the proper response? The proper response would be, yes, he did. He said it and he meant it. But no, he interjected that thought and those words. And then words have power in them. And I've had some of you do this little illustration, and we're going to do it right now here. If you just hold your hand in front of your mouth and you say, in the beginning, God, in the beginning, God, in the beginning, God, what do you experience? Well, you experience the word, because you're saying, in the beginning, God. And you're experiencing breath. They come together. Spirit, soul, and body. The word becomes flesh. It becomes one. That's why you got to watch your words and watch your spirit. It's working together. Keep you praying, because they come together. Your words and your spirit come together to form the man. Spirit, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I believe. Not sure of the verse, but 1 Thessalonians 5, I believe. So you see, right here in your very being, spirit, soul, and body, with every word, breath is coming out, life. There's Jesus said, my word is spirit. My word is spirit and life. So they all come together, the whole man, with words. In the beginning, Genesis 1, John 1. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. Let's go on a little further. Let's go on. Sister Patricia, what time is it? My clock, I must be tapping something. But I got a big clock here.
7:21.
21, 4 minutes. Okay, let's go to, Lord, lead me. Let's go to, let's go to Genesis. Let's go to Genesis chapter. Okay, let's go to, Lord, lead me. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah, or Isaiah, however you pronounce it. Isaiah, which is the longest book of prophecy in the Bible. Isaiah, one of those major prophets. Isaiah. And you all can see a whole bunch of scripture. These are major joints in the Bible that I'm going to, and I'm only been to a few. Genesis, what did I say? I said Isaiah. So let's look at Isaiah as quickly as we can get there. I'm going to mark my Bible. I can keep up with all these pink slips. And I have a new Bible. And I'm going through what I'm going through. So I really need your prayer. Isaiah chapter 9. And I don't know if I gave a chapter or not, but let's look at actually Isaiah chapter 9. Very familiar passage. We hear it especially around Christmas time. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And I want you to read it along with Revelation chapter 12. When you get to it, along with Revelation chapter 12. Now, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Let me speed up here. Isaiah 9, verse 6 says, "For unto us a child, capital C, is born." That is the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, coming to this earth, Son of God, Son of Man. "For unto us a child is born," Christmas time. "Unto us a son," capital S, capital C, capital S, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Anointed One. He was born in Bethlehem, but he was a son from eternity. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Do you want the gift? "Unto us a son is given." And now this is what was prophesied when we were talking about Palm Sunday last week. We saw it in type, what's going on and all that, royalty. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and this is prophecy, the government will be on his shoulder." You all see that big prophecy? Who runs the world? Don't look like nobody is running the way things are going. I mean, it's, you talk about void and chaos and confusion, da, 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 everything. Nature is rocking and reeling. I mean, it doesn't look like anybody's in control. Don't fool yourself. He's behind the veil right now. Jesus will be revealed. "And the government," praise God, "the government will be upon his shoulder." It will be upon his shoulder. And he ain't gonna be like, I've never read about Atlas, the A-T-L-A-S, but you've seen him bending over. And it ain't gonna be like that. "And the government will be upon Jesus' shoulder. And his name will be called," oh, I don't like him, "kill Jesus. He ain't gonna tell me what to do." No, "his name will be called by everyone wonderful." Everybody gonna say wonderful. "Counselor, mighty God." There he is, the Godhead. Wonderful, counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father. There's the Godhead. The Father is as old as the Son. The Son is as old as the Father. Who can figure that out? Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Won't be no real peace here on this earth, not till the King of Kings come, Jesus. Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David, becomes Messiah now, Messiah, the Anointed One, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forth and even forever. Could have stopped at the word forever, but he said for even forever, for forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Overview of Luke. Overview of Genesis. Overview of the Bible. We could end right here. Actually, I don't know how many more scriptures I could share. I just say, keep in the word. keep following Jesus, and he will take us there to his Father's house. Father, in the name of Jesus, how we praise you and how we love you for such a great salvation. Ooh, your plan, Lord, it just blows us away. And we haven't even seen the plan. We've seen it by faith, and by faith we believe. And we ask you now to follow Jesus. That's what you have commanded us to do, and tell others. We are all witnesses. That's how the gospel ends. Follow me and go tell. So help us to keep our assignments. We look forward to seeing you, Lord. Help us to be ready for the coming of the Lord. And God, now I offer as an offering to you this teaching. I pray your blessing on it. Multiply and apply as you see fit, according to your will and according to your way. When it's all said and done, I'm unworthy. You are worthy. Be with us, Lord, we pray, until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Good
Amen.
Work.
Good God man. Bless you all.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
All your prayers, I'm praying for you.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, we got to go because time is pushing us.
Yes,
we can't stay here. We have to keep following till we get to our Father's house. God bless you all.
God bless you.
God bless you, Velma.
God
bless you, Velma.
God be with you till we meet again.
God bless
you,
sister
Velma.
Amen.
Amen.
Love you. Got you all in our prayers.
Amen.
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 Gotta go.
Have a great blessing
here. Amen.
Amen.
Bye-bye.
Amen. Amen.
Was that to you, Sadie? Were you saying?